Yo, what's going on, everybody? Back with another episode of AWG Talk. We are resuming our series of Foundations of Faith and Manhood. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about becoming a strong man of faith. Now, usually we do intros, so my name is Demetrio, or AWG Journey.
It's your boy, Freddy, and, you know, AWG Freddy, that's my YouTube channel. But today we got another person with us, which is actually our third owner. And how about you introduce yourself, TJ?
What's going on, everybody? My name's Teron. Everybody call me TJ. You know, that's my nickname. It's good to be here. I'm sad I missed the first couple episodes, but we here now.
That's a pretty long
That was a pretty long clap.
Nah, I don't think you could, you know, whatever.
Appreciate y'all clapping it up, by the way.
Yeah, appreciate all right, y'all.
I'm going to start with my recap of the week. It's actually random because we're recording this on a Monday, so the week really hasn't started, but I'll just go what happened last week. To be honest, nothing really happened last week. I really had no exams. I say Monday, what is it called? Young Adults was actually really good. And then Tuesday night prayer was really good. It was a men's night, so we had fun there. And then, oh, we played volleyball. There we go. We played volleyball that Sunday. It was the first time we played volleyball. I got my knees bad. Like, the bad. I hurt my back. When I dived for it, my back went over. I mean, my legs went over my back like a scorpion. Like, if you can image that. So that was really fun. That was the first time we went there. We also went this most recent Sunday, and we're planning on going back for like the rest of the year, the rest of the semester. But that's basically what happened for me all last week.
Yeah, volleyball been really, really fun. I'm not going to lie. I kind of wanted to play volleyball in high school. You know, most people think it's a girl sport, but actually any type of sport I actually really enjoy. So I wanted to play volleyball in high school, but unfortunately, they never had it, and then as soon as we graduated, they brought it. So now there's professional volleyball and all that stuff. But
nah, they definitely did. Yeah. I was in school when they added that.
Nah, that's crazy. So yeah, my recap of the week. You know, Monday we went to Young Adults Vertical Chapel. We're gonna shout them out a little bit. We went to Monday at Young Adults. They had what did they have for food?
What did they have for food? I'm trying to remember. Oh, chili dogs.
Chili dogs.
Chili dogs,
yeah.
And nachos.
Nachos. So they had chili cheese and they had chili, or nacho cheese and chili cheese with hot dogs. So we had chili hot dogs with Fritos. And then Tuesday, we went to Tuesday Night Prayer. I actually didn't get to go to Tuesday Night Prayer. Wednesday, honestly, yeah, really yeah, nothing like, happened nothing, much last week.
Yeah, like it was like nothing too crazy.
Pretty calm.
Yeah, pretty calm.
It was a pretty calm.
So we're really not going to really do an intro or recap of the week because we really don't have much to say.
Oh, wait. Wow. I actually do have something to add. We got to make a test trial for our merch to make it for the church. There's actually, I think I made 5 shirts for 5 crowns: the crown of glory, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of, I gotta remember all of them.
Give me 2 seconds, I'll bring them up.
The crown of, there's another one that starts with an R, but
Hold on, give me one.
Crown of glory,
2,
crown of rejoicing,
and 3. It is going to be right here. I'm going through right here. So we have 5 crowns in scripture. Number 1, crown of incorruption.
There we go.
We got 1 Corinthians 9 through 25, verse 25. There we go.
There you go.
Then we got the second crown of glory. I mean, we have the second crown, crown of glory, 1 Peter 5 through 4. Then we have the third of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians 2 through 9. Thessalonians, you know, words, 2 through 19. Then we got the crown of life, James 1 through 12, and Revelation 2 through 10. We got one more, crown of righteousness, the 2 Timothy 4:8.
There you go. So I made a couple of shirts with those crowns on there. I sent it off to our pastor. His name is Pastor Cam. He is over like all
shout
of
out Vertical Chapel again.
Shout out Vertical Chapel for real. He's over all of the merch. He's over all of the technical stuff. He's over that. And I'm trying to build a connection with him free of charge, obviously, because it's for the church and the glory of God. And we're trying to build a connection with them so we can start making merch for them because they don't have a dedicated person to do so.
And I actually was just thinking to myself right now, and we're going to add this in the episode. We need to do a verse of the day or the verse of the week. One of those.
Yeah, that's
right. I have one if you want me to say it real quick.
Yeah, let's do it.
So this verse is, I'm not sure exactly what verse it is. It's a third verse, but I'm going to read it, and you know, you can see or find it in the Bible for yourself. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will the sign of your coming of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet."
Take that how you want it. But that's just gonna be
one of our verses. That's just gonna be. I was watching the service on YouTube and Vertical Chapel every Sunday.
It will be in the link. The link will be in the description below.
So that's just one of the verses I'm gonna put right then and there. Next week we're gonna have a verse specifically for the main topic that we pick, but this is just going to be a verse for right now.
I know I'm a new person here, but can I introduce a quick segment?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sure.
I want to know how y'all feel about, well, first off, I'm going to call this.
Before we start into the main topic, TJ going to give us a little topic to talk about real quick.
Just a little quick. Break the ice. So for AUG today, basically, I want to know how y'all feel about this. There was 10 people shot, one fatally wounded, after a Tennessee State University homecoming parade. Actually, there was 3 children among these people who were shot, 1 12-year-old and 2 14-year-olds. Luckily, none of the 10 people who were hit and survived are in critical condition at all.
Wait, nobody died?
Only
one person died.
But there were 10 victims who survived.
Okay, so it was a total of 11 people, but for sure. One person died.
One shot, dead, 10 okay. People wounded.
At a university, at Tennessee University.
Like Tennessee University?
Like the big one? Oh, wow.
Yeah, their homecoming parade.
Does it say, like, what was going on, or?
Is it just random?
It says, Von Quay Johnson, 24, died in the gunfire that erupted off campus on Jefferson Street around 5:10 p.m. after the parade was over, but as parking lots were still full of people, police said.
Oh, so it was basically, so what I'm getting from this, from the little information that we have here, is that there was a parade. Seems like a group of people were sitting outside in the parking lot. You know, most times when events close,
yeah, kind of
everybody
like a,
really want to go home.
Yeah, kind of like a tailgate type thing, but not
yeah, kind of like a tailgate. And we don't know exactly what happened, but we were told that 10 people were shot and one were dead. Now, obviously, this is a very, very tragic situation that happened, and nobody wants to be dead, obviously. But we got to try to take this and look at it from a biblical standpoint. What would Jesus do?
So they believe it was in a gang. It was gang related.
Okay. I was gonna see if like he had problems with anybody that was.
Actually, it says investigators believe that 5 people with gang affiliations opened fire. Police said in an update on Monday, Johnson, the man who passed, was one of those 5. So
I guess he was firing back and died.
Either he was firing back or he started firing and got shot back.
Oh, well. I definitely, what's your thoughts on this? I definitely thought that I was going to ask if it was like gang involved or if somebody, not even gang involved in general, but like if somebody had beef with somebody or if if that was the cause.
Yeah.
My thoughts on it are, I feel like that should never happen. And I feel like that people should like, well, especially as a man, that you shouldn't be going out and, especially in a public place and doing stuff like that. It's very horrific.
Let's say,
and people get injured.
Let me give you a situation. Let's see how we, you know, go about it. So let's say you leave in a parade, you're leaving a party. There's a whole bunch of people walking around in the streets. You see somebody that, let's say you have beef with. You're not cool with. It's both on site for y'all, and. Thing. So basically what I'm asking is, you see somebody that you don't like on the street, what should you do?
Well, Are we talking about like as a what someone with no self-control would do or a biblical person?
Well, we know somebody with no self-control would do. They would either start try to fight or, you know, start shooting or, you know, start an argument or whatever the case may be. We know what somebody would do without self-control. What should somebody do that has self-control?
What's the correct way to
go? So me personally, at a biblical standpoint, is you're supposed to love your enemies. So in general, you shouldn't even have that hate towards that person. Like, if they have the hate towards you, then yeah. But essentially, you shouldn't be holding that grudge towards them. And I know that some people can do some horrific things to you, but Jesus told us that we need to love our enemies, we need to love our neighbors, we need to love our friends, we need to love in general. That's what we're supposed to do. And if that person, it's just like we saw Cliff today.
Hold on. Shout out Cliff, man. What's his last name? I don't even know how to pronounce it. Yeah. Y'all know who Cliff is. Yeah. I want to shout out Cliff just real quick. Thank you for coming to Texas State. We're going to be coming to see you all week. I got to ask a couple questions. Hopefully my question is in the video so I could, you know, show my family members and stuff like that. But yeah, shout out Cliff, man. He's a really good preacher. He speaks is so fluent and so, like, sometimes you might ask a question and then he might give you an answer that you don't really understand.
It's not directly,
first.
Yeah. It's not like a direct answer, but it's like a broken down answer.
Like, so my question was, if God knows our heart, why does he allow, if God knows our heart and God knows that the devil is tempting us every single day and he knows that he's able to stop the devil, why does God allow the devil to continuously tempt us? His answer was, one, he doesn't know. Also, his answer was, basically, God allows certain things to happen because we have free will. Lucifer was a free-willed angel. He decided to rebel against God. It is the exact same way that we rebel against God. Devil has free will. Angels have free will. Everybody that God is around has free will. So if God is allowing him to tempt you, he's allowing you to be tested to see where your faith is. If your faith is low, you're going to be tested not to show God your faith, because God knows where your faith is. God tests you to show you where your faith is, to see where you at, and to let you know, okay, my faith is at a zero. My faith is at 50, 100. You know, it was Abraham, right?
Mm-hmm.
Abraham that, you know, he kept going back and forth with his faith. Sometimes he was really, really high with his faith, building an altar for Jesus and things like that. Sometimes it was really, really low where he was questioning God. He didn't really know what to do about certain things.
He had sex with another woman.
Yeah, like his wife told him to have sex with another
God
woman.
God had been then told him that he's going to have a kid.
So, like, basically, in a sense, when you are faced with, the light turned back on. When you are faced with an enemy or someone that you do not like, you have to think in a quick sense of what would Jesus do. Jesus loves his enemies. Jesus prays for his enemies. Jesus wants his enemies to come to heaven with them. He understands that certain evil people, or not, let's not say evil people, certain people that doesn't understand the way of God, you have to show them and be the example instead of not.
Yeah, Cliff made a really big point today. He was like, you have to really, really, really hate somebody for you not to want them to go to heaven.
Yeah.
You have to really, really hate it. And what I was saying is that, yeah, I was making that point, and that you, like, as a follower of Christ and whatever, you should just be loving your enemy. And because what we have realized is that, yes, that people and innocent people die because of what people's decisions happen and et cetera. Because he had brought up the point, like, what if my parents or whatever made me do terrible things? It was the family business and I didn't know God at the point. I wasn't exposed to God, but I was just doing terrible things. And then he said that essentially you will be okay, but it depends on whenever you do meet God, do you repent for what you did? And two, your parents or the people that made you do the quote unquote family business, they have to bow down to God on judgment day and they will be judged.
Like, let me give you a quick example of what he means by family business. Let's say that you grew up in a mobster lifestyle. Your parents are telling you, hey, we want you to go rob, steal, and kill. And if you don't, then you will be punished. You'll be locked in a room. You will be beaten. You will be, what is it, disavowed?
Martyred.
Martyred. You would be, not martyred. You basically would be shunned from the family. You're an outcast.
But you also add the point that you don't know God. So you don't know that even if you do stand against your parents, that you have that eternal salvation. You don't know that.
So basically, you're being forced to rob, steal, kill, rape, murder. And basically, my question to Cliff was, if God is seeing that I'm being forced to do these things and I don't know God, will I still go to heaven? The answer was, one, he doesn't know. But also, the answer was, as long as you are standing firm in what you believe, like say your mom was like, or say your dad was like, hey, I need you to go collect this money from me. But he probably won't be so easily to give you the money, so you might have to beat him up. If you come in contact with Christ and you still do those things that were told to you, then you will go to hell. But if you do not know God and you do those things, then you will have to have that conversation with God.
Yeah. He was making that. That's a conversation that you have to make with God. And once you meet God, that's the one thing about God's grace. Is no matter what you do, you never fall too far from his grace. God never sends you away. He never will. You can always come back and actually repent. So that was
to end that off. I just like to say, I don't remember exactly what his name was, but prayers go out to those 10 people that were wounded, and prayers go out to that one person that was dead. I hope he is seeing Jesus right now.
Definitely condolences to his family.
But if we continue on this topic, we will be on this topic for a long time.
Go ahead and bring in the main topic.
Let's go with the main topic. All right. The main topic, like we said, was becoming a strong man of faith. Okay. But here's the first thing that we need to discuss in this topic. We need to know what does make a strong man of faith.
Go ahead and answer your question.
So what does make a strong man in faith is the fact that he does everything that God says that he's supposed to do as a man. He's supposed to provide. He's supposed to protect. He is supposed to honor God. He is supposed to lead the household to God. That is what a strong man does. Mm-hmm. A strong man is supposed to do those things. That is a strong man in faith. He completely trusts God with everything. And when it comes to, especially when it comes to being with his girl or being with his wife, God gives that man things that he is supposed to do for his wife. And when you follow God's rules, he blesses you. And that is what it means to be a strong man in faith, because there is an order in your household. God is supposed to be first, but the man leads the household, but the man is leading the household under God, because God is the big head. And then under him is everybody else. That is how you are supposed, that is what a man of faith should look like.
Let's give some rough qualities and what those qualities really mean.
What do you mean by rough qualities?
As in,
real quick, Raymond said, dude, no way, that's awesome, because of Cliff.
Oh, yeah.
But, he texted our business account.
What I mean by qualities and like rough meanings behind what they mean, like how do you feel, like what is your definition of responsibility, integrity, humility?
So, leadership? Yeah, there's a couple things that a man is supposed to be. And what I think is, like Frederick said, a man that stands firm in the biblical text and a man that stands firm in his belief in God. Now, like responsibility, you are responsible to provide for your family. You are responsible to protect your family. You are responsible to do those things because that's what you are tasked to be with a man. Now, there's two different things. There's a woman and there's a man. A man is supposed to be a provider and a protector. That's because back in the day, there was no, oh, I'm going to go to work and I'm just going to make money and I can feed my family by going to Walmart and grabbing some food. Like, no. As a man, you were supposed to be, you know, strong enough to go out to get... Hold on. Y'all don't know. Y'all didn't just see this, but Frederick just took off his shoe and smelt it and didn't look, made a crazy face, bro.
It's because I like to have my shoes off, but I didn't want them to go through that.
But yeah. So like I was saying, a man that stands firm in his belief. A man was made to protect and provide. When you go back in the day, he had to go out, he had to kill an animal, he had to bring that animal back, and he honestly, he had to learn how to cook that animal so that he could feed his family. Then on top of that, he had to find a way to find shelter, make that shelter, you know, evident or good enough to survive. And then on top of that, as loving in a relationship with a girl, he also has to deal with, you know, kids and his girlfriend's problems and their problem and their relationships and all of that stuff. There's a lot of things that come into. Go ahead.
I am currently going through marriage counseling, not as I have something going on in my marriage, but it's like, you know, tools to build stuff when something does arise. And whenever he said, like, whenever you have to deal with your wife and you have to deal with your girlfriend and stuff like that, a lot of men, okay, so if a girl is crying, right? A lot of men, what do we want to do? We want to solve the problem, or we want them to stop crying. This is what he had told us. This is what he told us. He's like, Pastor Sterling has told us. He's like, you either solve the problem. The men want to solve the problem or not. And he was like, but what you need to do, a lot of women just want you to be there. They want you to be there while they're crying. They want you to hold them. Men don't like to do that because we're like, oh, you're crying. You have a problem that you need to solve.
Yeah, you need to solve it. Like if a girl's crying on the floor, you're like, okay,
like what do I do?
Do you want?
And then like, men get
what can I do? Basically, a guy says, what can I do right now to stop you from crying? Because that's what a normal guy does.
Yeah, but then whenever they, like, there's nothing we can do, we feel useless as a man. We feel useless. We begin to get frustrated. And then we're like, okay, well, if there's nothing I can do, just stop crying. A lot of men
and
will jump
also,
to that.
And then also, I'm not going to lie, because sometimes I jump to this as well. It's like, you're crying, but you're not letting me know why you're crying, so I can't solve the problem. So it's like, sometimes it's like, do you even love me sometimes? Because like, yeah, I'm trying to fix the problem. You're not allowing me to fix the problem. And you're kind of making more problems arise because I'm trying to fix the problem. Now you're mad at me for trying to fix the problem.
Yeah. So as a man, what he had told us is you have to pre-decide if you're just going to sit there with her and allow her to grieve. Because we have to realize that men and women are different. We're both created differently. We're created in the image of God, but we're created differently. So he said, you have to pre-decide whenever you make that covenant with her that you're going to deal with that and you're going to sacrifice your thoughts and your things for the comfort of her. So that's what you're supposed to do in those situations. If she, but some women are different, you know, some women want you to solve their problem, but a lot of them want you to hear them and just hold them.
Real quick, because we are talking about being in a relationship. We aren't talking about how to get into a relationship.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So here's a couple tips and tricks to try to, this is, and I'm letting you know right now, this is not any secular advice. This is not any regular advice. This is for men that are abide by the Bible and believe and follow Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing you want to do is find a church that is good for you, that you can find people that you can relate to, that you hear their testimonies and that you like and that you can speak to and that you believe that you can say anything and everything to. Because when you are in a church, you have like-minded people that are going through the same things. If they're going through the same things, that means they understand what you're going through. If they understand what you're going through, that means that they can give you tips and tricks on how to fix it or how to get into a relationship or how to solve certain things. So basically, my first tip is go to church. Find you a church, get inside that church. If you're not baptized, get baptized. And if you find a woman that is trying to follow God as close and fast as you, then introduce yourself.
Yeah, that's also good. Get a woman of the Lord.
Give another example of how you could find a relationship, married man.
Another way to find a relationship is don't lower your biblical standards. That's the main thing that you should not do. Like, if you're like, okay, that's kind of in and out because sometimes there are some people, because my situation is definitely a lot different because she was Buddhist before I had even anything was initiated. But God had told me, give it a chance. And I was like, all right, man, I can't question you. But whenever it comes to like getting into a relationship or looking for things into a relationship, what you mainly should look for, here's the thing that I had to open my eyes to, is are they willing to compromise with you? That's the main thing that you should be looking for. And you should be, before you go in, you should be like, am I willing to compromise or sacrifice some of my lifestyle to be with this person? If you're still like, no, I want to be me and I want to do me, then you shouldn't be looking for a relationship, because in a relationship, you're going to have to sacrifice for each other. There is no ifs, ands, and buts about it. And a man of faith sets that standard, that he is going to first show his sacrifice by doing the things that he is doing for her. Example, proposing. That costs money, all type stuff. Even though, like, time is the main one, but it's like you can propose to her with a freaking plastic ring or whatever. It's all about just putting your money where your mouth is, because it's like, I want to propose to you, but then you just never propose. You can make a proposal without it being $1,000, $2,000, but you should be able to sacrifice the things that you want as a man to be with that somebody, and have to realize that they're willing to sacrifice for you. Because when you get into a relationship, yes, we always talk about how a woman should be submissive to a man, but he has to be a man of God for her even to submit to him. She's not just supposed to submit to any man. She's only supposed to submit to her husband. So what makes you think that a woman needs to submit to you if you're not even a man of God? So you got to be that man of God first.
True.
And where that also is under responsibility. But we're going to move to the next one. Oh, I'm going to take leadership. You need to be a leader as a man of faith. That's what you need to do. You need to be able to, if there's something rough going on in your household, or there's something going on with your kids or something like that, you need to be able to lead them to a solution. You need to be able to lead the household. You need to be able to lead those things, because if you're not, it's going to fall apart. Because what is your wife going to look to you to do? She's going to look for you to be able to solve some of her problems.
If you break down crying, she's going
to
break down.
She's going to break down and cry. Now, I'm not going to say she's going to leave you, but she's going to look at you for a solution. If she needs a solution, she's going to be like, I can trust him in finding me a solution. And that's your job as a leader to be like, a lot of guys don't ever say, oh, I don't know if I can do this. Always say, I can figure this out, and actually try and figure it out. Don't just say that just to be some macho Chad. Say, I can figure this out, and actually actively go and try to find a solution. Your job is to find a solution, because whenever she sacrificed herself to be with you, then she knew that you were going to do things for her, and that she's going to do things for you. So you have to be able to be a leader. Like, and that is a big thing as a man.
Like, this could be an example of a sacrificing as a man. So let's say you walk in a room, or you walk in the house. You just got done working. Your girlfriend or your wife is tending to the kids, or she's been tending to the kids all day, and she doesn't want to cook. She cooks every single night, but just today she doesn't want to cook. Are you going to get mad at her and yell and be like, oh, you don't cook, and blah, 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 blah? Or are you just going to be like, okay, babe, we can just go grab takeout?
It's certain ways. Are you seriously not going to cook? And if she's seriously not going to cook, then we're still going to eat, but I'm just be like, okay, I guess.
Yeah,
it depends on the reason, and honestly, like, if she's just genuinely tired as hell, I mean, super tired, then, I mean, I don't have a problem with you not wanting to cook. Because honestly, I want to learn to cook myself, not for a person in my life, but just for myself to actually.
Like, even with that, so it's like, are you going to learn how to cook so that you can feed your kids as well? Or, exactly. Like, say there's no takeout tonight.
Exactly. It's too late.
It's too late.
Sunday, 12:30.
You ain't getting no Whataburger for the kids.
Yeah, nah.
You're not getting
no. So basically, what I would say as another tip would to be learn certain skills as a man so that you can use those skills in the future. So let's say, you know, working on your house, learning how to cook, working on your car. You know, there's certain types of things that I'm not saying that women can't do, but men should be able to do. Nowadays,
dude,
there are a lot of men that can't change a tire.
No. Okay. Not putting my wife's ex on blast, but he didn't.
Yes, he is.
He didn't know how to change a tire for 2 hours.
2 hours.
2 hours. Like, a man should, she shouldn't have to worry and find and help and find help to find somebody to change a tire. Like, hey, that should be a no-no. So we were going to my formal, and our tire had busted out. And I pulled over. I changed that tire in about a couple seconds. She looks at me like I'm crazy, and she's like, wow. Dang,
he's a real man.
Yeah, like it was crazy. And then I was like, I'm thinking like, whoa, this isn't normal. And then she had told me the story about how her ex didn't know how to change tire for 2 hours. I'm like, okay, there's some things that as a man that you just need to know how to do. My dad taught me when I was like 6, 5 years old. My dad was like, you need to learn how to change a tire, because.
And even if you don't try to learn how to change a tire for a woman or whatever, you need to learn how to change a tire in general. Because what if your car breaks down?
See, my
by
dad,
yourself with nobody else to help you. You're just going to be on the road waving your hands like, hey, I need some help.
Yeah, no. My dad said you need to learn how to change a tire. And then my dad also said you need to. My dad also, you know, he's old school. So he's like, you know, you need to pull over. If somebody else needs help changing their tire, you need to know how to change their tire for them.
Like, stuff one time like I had my ex. I don't think I'm going to say her name.
Don't say her name.
But, yeah, her name's Veronica. Yeah. She used to work at Texas Roadhouse. And I don't know if she still works there. Don't care. But, So my ex, keep in mind, this is my ex at the time as well. She randomly calls me and she's like, hey, I need help. My tire's busted out. She has a Suburban. It's not like a regular car. It's a Suburban.
Big body.
Big body. And, She's like, hey, can you come change my tire? And I'm at the time, I'm like, where's your man? Like, maybe you're not dating anybody, but
pregnant?
like
literally,
I don't want to put her. Okay, so
rewind.
Next topic. So basically, what I'm trying to say is, I had to, as an ex, go up to Texas Roadhouse and basically figure out how to change this tire. She didn't have a regular jack. She didn't have any tools. I had to bring my own tools. I had to bring my jacks. I had a baby jack on top
purely
of that.
Good intentions.
Like,
what a man. Out of his way.
Just went out of
that,
my way.
See, there you go. That's,
tire
that's a
left.
Man right there. That's,
stepping up.
That's a man. But now, TJ, I want to ask you, what do you think about humility? Like, what do you think? How should a man be or show humility? Also,
Started off a little quickly.
Yeah,
what
do you think about humility as well?
I think I'm standing up a little bit, so if you hear me standing up, I'm stretching my legs. But humility, real quick, give me a definition of humility.
I just got it. So boom.
Oh,
not to cut you off, but so boom. I looked up the definition. Let me get y'all the exact definition. It says, where did it go? All right, boom. A modest or low view of one's own importance. Humbleness. So I'm honestly, when I first read it and I seen a modest or low view of one's own importance, I was thinking of putting yourself down. But when I seen humbleness, it kind of made me think different. So if I'm going off of what I seen when it says humbleness, I would say just not like putting others before yourself, honestly, like genuinely thinking about how your actions or how your words will affect somebody else, because that comes a long way. If you big bad, can't nobody mess with you, and that's how you thinking, somebody gonna show you one day, and then it's gonna be too late, because they're not gonna play with you, because you're doing
overly. Like trying to play with God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't beat that. You just can't defeat that.
That's like, there was this one verse, I think,
good.
With Abraham today at Monday night youth group. Abraham basically was sitting there laughing at God, and God's like, "You laughing at me?" He's like, "No,
nah,
I didn't laugh."
Oh no, Sarah.
He's like,
Sarah.
"No, it was Sarah."
Sarah, yeah, Sarah.
So Sarah had
laughed because they're talking about her getting pregnant at how old she is.
Oh, so yeah,
she
so she
laughed.
Was like 100 years old.
No, she was like 70.
70, 70, 70, something like that. 70, 80, 100, whatever. And she was old. And basically, God been telling her that she's going to have a kid, she's going to have a kid, she's going to have a kid, but they've been trying and they couldn't have a kid. So God tells her one more time, like, hey, you're going to have a kid. And she, like, no, Abraham and God were having a conversation. And Abraham and another guy were talking about how God told Abraham that they were going to have another child. And Sarah was basically in the back chuckling. And God was like, were you chuckling? And she like,
wanted
no.
to sit there and say no. Like,
and it's like, you can't lie to God. And there's certain things like what TJ was talking about, humility and humbleness. there's certain people in this world that, you know, have a lot of money, have a lot of personal, merchandise and things like that. Yeah. And they think after a while, oh, I'm the best. I can do this. I can do that. I can fix this. I can fix that. I have the money to do this. They have a really big head. And God says that as soon as you have a big head, you will be humbled. Like, if you're not humble, you will be humbled. You can, one, and I'm going to say this because some people forget this sometimes. You're not the strongest. You're not the biggest. You're not the richest.
Or the fastest.
Or the fastest.
Somebody is always better than you.
There's going to be somebody always better than you. And if you, let's just say, so happened.
You really are.
You really are that. You're him. Guess what?
There's always God.
G-O-D is better than you, bro.
See, it's actually really funny because it's like, you're the best, but you're the best right now.
Yeah,
somebody else is gonna come and take that. Someone's gonna take that medal.
Always a better rapper, singer, whatever.
Somebody's gonna take.
Always
that
a better
medal.
Podcaster. Y'all could be watching other people's podcasts. Not ours, right now.
Sitting there telling everybody how good you are. Somebody in the studio working hard, exactly.
Working hard
on the field.
You're gloating and you're partying and you're having fun. And there's going to be somebody in the weight room
twice as hard as
Because you think that you're number one. You don't have to work anymore. There's somebody else.
That's one thing actually as a man.
The turtle and the hare.
So that's one thing that we would tell y'all is that, one, be humble. We don't care if you're the fastest, the strongest, the hardest, the rapperest. We don't care. It's called being humble because you always got to remember that there's somebody over you. And if it's not somebody over you, then God's over you. So even you might think that you're the best rapper, the best singer. Guess what? Lucifer was one of the best angels.
Look where he at.
Look where he at. Lucifer was one of the prettiest angels. Look where he at.
Yeah, so that's the big thing about humility. You have to be humble as a man. And I'll also take integrity. Integrity is a big one because it's also one of my fraternity main core values.
Shout out Lambda Chi Alpha.
Yes, sir. It's a big thing because you, as a man, you always need to be doing the right thing no matter who is looking. Well, one, God is always looking.
And that's one of the hardest things. Integrity got to be one of the hardest.
Integrity is one of the hardest things to conquer. Because it's like, it's a lot of people would be.
Sometimes nobody's looking.
Yeah, a lot of people would be tempted, right? If you sit there and a freaking $300 falls out of somebody's wallet, right? And nobody's watching you. You pick up that $300. Oh, it's the library. You
library closing?
Something like that. See?
30 minutes.
No, yeah. One.
30 minutes.
We got 30 minutes?
It's 12:27.
All right, bet. 12:55, we got to get out.
So we'll close it about 12:45, 12:40.
Yeah, something like that. What time is it?
Yeah, we're just going to cut this out.
Right now? Oh, yeah, for sure. All
right.
Just give it some time.
There's an announcement right now.
Yeah.
Listen to an announcement. Shout out Texas State for allowing us to be here pretty late.
But, integrity is one of the hardest things because if there's $300 right there in front of you and nobody sees you and you can pick it up, what are you going to do?
Yeah,
a lot of people would just be like, oh, my.
You got bills to pay.
Yeah, I got bills to pay. My kids are hungry.
And it's two situations.
I just got, a lot of people, there's a fork in the road. And a lot of people would be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
God
it's two
bless
situations.
Me with this.
It's either God bless me with this money and I'm happy or I could feed my kids, or it's like, okay, you could pick up that money,
you can give
it back
to the person. So there's two, but there's also two sides to that. Because
how you know
person.
That person that got
exactly,
fixed
I was just going
to
say that. What if that $300, what if they're really finna go drop off rent? Yeah. Like, what if they're finna go drop that off? And then since you didn't give
water
it back
bill,
to them, yeah. Now their family is in trouble because you decided to be selfish. So there's a lot of other things that also go with integrity, but it's also very hard to do integrity because let's just say that here's the biggest one. Someone is being mean to you, right? And you can do something behind their back that you know will hurt them.
Talk behind them and stuff
like
that.
Talk behind them and all types of stuff. You can do something and they will never figure it out. They'll never know who did it. Let's just say it's a championship game or something like that. But and you're in the tech room. You just happen to work in the tech room and you could unplug their thing from the internet and you could make them lose everything. Even though it's wrong that you did that, you know that since nobody is looking, you could just, oh, his internet went out. Oh, he lost $300,000. That's crazy.
And then he goes up on the stage and he talks about, oh yeah, you I'm know, homeless, I was homeless. I was, I, no, I, my mom has breast cancer and I was going to use this for her treatment. And I thought I had the game, but I guess the internet got lagging. Me. I started lagging. The internet got me. You're going to feel terrible.
Yeah, my mom's on the way out of here because of you.
Like, literally, you're going to feel terrible. But a lot of people don't look at it like that because what is that thing? Pride. They don't have any humility. What they think of integrity and humility really go together. But a lot of people aren't going to think about that other person because they're going to be worried about how they feel. They're going to be worried about how that person treated them. That's what they're going to worry about. That's why God says the second most important commandment is that you should love your neighbor, because you do that. If you hold that grudge and you do that, then you kill the innocent mama. The mama didn't do nothing to you. Even though that person may have did something to you, he may be doing something for his mom. And maybe that's why he acts the way he acts. Maybe that's why he's angry. But then you go and ruin that, and then you kill an innocent person and you harden his heart even more.
Mm-hmm. Now he on the way up out of here. He don't got his mama.
Now family. And now he has nothing to lose, and now he may kill you.
He out of here.
Because he has nothing to lose. Yep. A lot of people don't think about how integrity can affect it. But TJ is right. It's one of the hardest things to do, because sometimes people like the adrenaline run of doing the bad thing behind people's back or stuff like that. Some people like that stuff. And it's really hard to always do the right thing whenever the wrong thing is just so tempting. It is so hard to do the right thing, especially when no one is watching. It's, I mean, it's easy to do the right thing when everyone's watching. For you sure. know, everyone, you want to be glorified. So it's easy to do the right thing.
As soon as nobody's watching, to put it in the Bible.
That's what matters.
Yeah. That's what really matters. What matters is if nobody is watching me, will I still stand up for my friends?
And to put a Bible verse on that is 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. It says, be watchful, stand firm in faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you be done in love. Exactly. So basically what that verse is trying to say is, as a man and a woman, honestly, you want to be responsible. You want to have integrity. Humility is one of the biggest ones, but leadership is where it comes from everybody, not just men, not just women. Every single person has to be a leader. If you're a leader, that means that you're someone that can follow. You're the example. If you become the example, that means that people are going to look after you like a brother, like a sister. If you are the big brother or you're the big sister and you're constantly doing things to show your sister or brother wrong, then you're being the example of what they're going to grow up to be. So, in the world right now, God is slowly, slowly dying out. Most of the time, I don't really hear anything about God in the government. I don't hear anything about God in really anything, public, sports. Like, every single thing that we are
focused on. Shout out CJ Stroud. Whenever he tries to talk about God, they'd be cutting the camera off.
Nah, facts. Okay. First and foremost, I want to thank Jesus Christ, like he says, but...
And they cut the camera.
Yeah, they just cut the camera. It's like right now God is being pushed and pushed and pushed away.
Almost demonetized.
Yeah, like
literally.
There's and it sounds crazy, but and a lot of people don't know this. But there's certain contracts that rappers and singers have that you can't even say God in some of your songs. It's like, why is God being pushed away so much? The reason why God's being pushed away so much is because the Bible and Jesus and God all talk about being a good person. It's really that simple. Everything in the Bible is against the flesh. No sex before marriage. No, be in a sober mind. Love your neighbor.
Everything that goes
nothing
against.
Goes above me. If you put money above God, then you will be humbled. If you put love above God, then you won't have that love anymore. There's certain things that God will take away from you and you don't even realize because you're steady thinking everything is fine and sweet and dandy.
Yeah, that's really good. So, but, you know, it's about getting time. But the tips that we want you to take away from this is to embrace responsibility. Be responsible for your actions and embrace responsibility as something like all the responsibility that you have as a man. Embrace that.
Always value tomorrow.
Yes. Embrace those things.
And honestly, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I do struggle with that. So a lot of the times I think in the moment, I live in the moment, I'm going day by day, things like that. I get stuck and I go back into my old ways. But Honestly, things have been a lot better. I have not been sad, depressed. Well, I had lost a person really close to me when I had moved out here. And that was low-key really rough in the beginning. But slowly, I slowly got over it. I start talking to God more. And that's why I love these two right here, man. Because I'm telling you, I wouldn't be right here. I wouldn't be in San Marcos. I wouldn't be in school if it wasn't for these two, man. I just thank God for them every day. Yeah. And I hope y'all having a great day too, man.
Nah, God is good. I've seen a lot of change in both of them, really. Like, I've seen a lot of change, and because God can change anyone. And it's just that you got to let him in. And
speaking of letting him in, the next tip and takeaway would be grow spiritually.
You forgot lead with integrity.
Well, we already kind of spoke on integrity. Yeah. Okay, so I didn't really want to say that.
You know, just go over it. Don't explain it.
So, I mean, the second one is lead with integrity, is be honest, transparent in all things, and even when it's hard. And we kind of really spoke on that one, so I wanted to go to the next one, which was grow spiritually. You want to build daily habits like prayer, scripture reading, and meditating on God's word to strengthen your spiritual walk. There's things that people, you know, they smoke or they drink or they do certain things, and they never really just open the Bible and read it. They never, you know, there's certain things like, okay, read one chapter a night. You know, Frederick does that.
Yeah, I don't read one chapter a night. I just read one chapter a day. Yeah, it just most happily ends up being at night, because that's when I sit down and relax. I'm like, well, you know what? I haven't read my Bible today. You know, that's actually really good. I tend to read a book at a time. I'm in 2 Corinthians. I finished 1 Corinthians, but I'm in 2 Corinthians right now. It's really good to just read. You talk to God for a day, you know. I mean, talk to God one time during the day and all types of stuff. I mean, I talk to him all the time. I talk to him while I'm driving. I'm just like, God's always there.
Even if you don't even open the Bible, like, you can go on Google, ask for verses, you know. You can go on ChatGPT. You know, everybody cheating on ChatGPT. So,
oh, yeah, big time.
All you got to do is go on ChatGPT. Hey, ChatGPT, I'm a Christian. Or you don't even have to say I'm a Christian. Just say, hey, ChatGPT, I want you to read the Bible for me, and I want you to give me a verse. I'm feeling...
uplifting verse.
Yeah, uplifting verse, or I'm feeling depressed verse. Or, like, you can literally ask ChatGPT for any single thing. Like, hey, ChatGPT, I'm feeling down right now. I just lost my girlfriend. Can you give me a verse for that? My mic went out halfway. And, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of daily habits that you're building, as long as it's strengthening your spiritual walk. If it's listening to Google, or sometimes some people don't even read the Bible. They listen to the Bible because they don't really like reading. There's so many things. You can watch Cliff. There's a cool another podcast called George Janko I'll be watching as well.
Yeah,
they actually just got married.
Jordan Peterson
as well. You know, there's a lot of things that you can watch to strengthen your walk with Jesus and God. And as you do those things, you should just build those daily habits.
And so the last one we have is serving others. We've gone through that a lot throughout here, and definitely. That's just the main thing, is that you just need to serve.
If you're serving for yourself, that means you're always going to care about yourself. And you
self-centered.
You're self-centered. Yeah. You don't care about nobody else. The good thing about serving other people is
you get to put a smile on other people's faces.
Yeah, like God. It's a good feeling. And there was this actual quote. But the person that said it is crazy. So I'm not going to say who said it. But he basically said, God, if you don't spend your money correctly, then you're telling God that you didn't give me enough and that I'm not enough. And that when you do spend your money on good things like helping other people, buying something for a friend, you know, God rewards you with more money because you're doing good with those things. Now, if you have a lot of money and you're constantly doing things for yourself, you're buying cars, you're buying clothes, you're buying jewelry, you're not helping your family out even though they're in need, your money will be taken away from you. It may not be now. It may not be tomorrow. You might be trying to build generational wealth, and out of nowhere, your kids have the
stock market.
You know, even the stock market, but
crash.
The kid, you may be perfectly fine in your entire life, but as soon as you build generational wealth, let's just say your kids have a spending habit. They spend all of their hard-earned money. I mean, all of your hard-earned money, and now everybody's broke. Your family's broke. Everything is gone because you decided to focus on, you know, buying things for yourself and doing things for yourself, and not realizing that you actually have a family around you that needs help. You might have a struggling cousin that, you know, maybe smoking, maybe drinking, maybe lustful. And all he really needs, there was this guy, actually, TJ, he had showed me this video a couple of days ago. There was this guy that he got signed to an NFL draft, or he got signed to an NFL contract.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he took his money from his NFL contract and built a record label. For one of his childhood friends, he built a record label and signed his friend. And
purely
now they're
for his friend too.
Yeah,
he's an NFL player. He's been playing football his whole life.
The NFL player got millions. Yeah. He don't really need to do anything, but he took upon himself to take his money out, make an entire record label. It's not easy to make a record label.
Definitely.
Sign his friend, and now his friend is making the same, or close to the same amount of money as him, because he decided to not be selfish. Not work. See, this is the thing, right? And a lot of people kind of get this messed up. Everybody is so focused on their own lives that they don't realize that there's other people around them that actually do need their help. And when you only focus on your life, yeah, you get to the point where, okay, say you're trying to build generational wealth, or you're trying to build a family, or you're trying to build something, and you're never looking back to help people. Like, you might have a family member that's a crackhead, and all they really need is a nice place to stay, to wash themselves and to clean up for a couple weeks. But you're like, nah, I don't want them in my house because they're a crackhead. They're still
don't want them around your kids.
Yeah, you don't want them around your kids, not knowing that honestly he just needs a little bit of help. He just needs actual
friend.
God will
watch your kids.
Which, again, God will watch your kids. God, if you put God before everything, there's really nothing, there's literally nothing that can stand in your way.
Like, if you're getting, like, you know, you don't want to run your kids and stuff, but if you're doing it out of the grace, if you're doing it out of the grace of God, if you're doing it for God, then God's not going to allow anything to happen that you don't want to happen.
And you can let your kids know, like, hey, man, Uncle Tommy right now is not feeling too good. Don't really be around him until he starts feeling better. Like, there's certain things that, and you can express to your kids. This is what I want y'all to take away. If, you know, not very many people are watching right now, but if you do hear this video, you know, videos never go away. So maybe in 5, 6, 10, 20, 30, 40, it doesn't matter, years.
Eternal.
What I want you to understand, and this is not even about the main topic. I just want to say this, just to say this. If you have kids and you're still trying to figure out your life, you have kids, you're still trying to find a way around it, focus on your kids.
Yeah, it's too late.
It's too late. I'm not trying to tell you to give up your life, but I'm telling you, the kids are the new generation that will be focusing and, you know, in our government and dealing with the things that we deal with. Everything that y'all did back in the day, we have to deal with now. So understand that if you build up your kids to be that strong-minded person and that integrity and the humbleness and the all of that, There should be nothing that your kid can't go through. And if you really do want to change anything, say you have a really, really big problem with the government, with football, with, you know, it doesn't really matter, church, you could build your child up to fix those problems within that establishment. There's certain things that your child can change that you never even know. Your child could be could find a cure to cancer. They could be the person that's a prophet, that could be Moses. Like, there's certain things that you can do. There's so many, you never know. So just to take away from that, focus on your kids, and yeah, that's really it.
So the challenge for this week is to reflect on yourself. Reflect on yourself whenever there is an opportunity for you to be a leader. Whenever you can show a great sign of integrity, whenever you can be a great service to other people, and whenever you can show some responsibility. Those are our challenge for the day.
And before close out, I want to touch on that, on these practical tips. I didn't really speak on it, but embracing responsibility. I think that's a real big thing, because when someone leans on me for help, after as much as I lean on other people for help, it makes me feel good to know that I can help somebody, even if I don't know. For an example, I use my girlfriend. So my girlfriend wants to go to school. She wants to move out here with us and stuff like that. I don't know all the processes. Frederick helped me with most of my enrolling processes in TCC and in ACC. So what did I do? She asked me a question I didn't have the answer to. I turned to Frederick, got an answer, gave it to her, and we just made progress. So it just, being able to help, just, I don't know, it's just something about that feeling. It's like more than a high, more than a mindset. Like, it's just a great feeling that you really won't feel on a regular basis. So
yeah,
whenever
feel that. Yeah, to even really go on top. That. Yeah, embrace that. It's hold like that. Going on what TJ was saying, having the ability to build a kingdom around you of like-minded people that are willing to help you is the best thing for you. If you feel like you can do everything alone, you're going to be alone.
You're doing it wrong.
Understand that, right? Say you have a wife, and the only thing you do is hang out with your wife, and the only thing you do is when you want to. And the only, like,
when you want to. If you do that when you want to, do you know how bad that relationship is going to be? If you only do it when you want to and all types of stuff. But you know how good you feel whenever you, even at the time, you're like, dang, I don't feel like doing this. But then whenever you do help them and then you see that smile on their face, that smile on their face is to die for.
So this
It's absolutely amazing to see, like, whenever I help Demetrio or whenever I help TJ or whenever they help me, you know, they give off a little smile and all types of stuff. It feels good. Like, it feels good because you're like, I just made their day, you know? Like, it's like, their day just got better. Like, I know it may not fix all their problems, but at least this is some light that they could see. At least that this is some light that they could think about when they go to sleep tonight. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not completely drowned in darkness and no one pushed them away. Like, they can actually think of something good.
Definitely.
Like, it's that little act of you doing that can change somebody's entire perspective on life.
Yeah, so last week, the challenge of the league last week was, we got to wrap this up right now. But so basically, the last challenge of the week that we're going to put on this we're just going to be the ending off, is what I want you to do is find your way to read a Bible. I think last week was read the chapters Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John.
Something along those lines.
But regardless, even if it was read the Bible last week, I'm going to tell you to read the Bible this week. Well, all I want you to do is, if it's going on ChatGPT, if it's on Google, if it's reading the Bible, if it's on your iPad, it doesn't matter what it is, if it's talking to somebody, find a way to find Jesus, learn about Jesus, see what he did, see how he lived his life, and then make your decision on God. Because do not follow the Bible. Do not follow all of this stuff. Follow Jesus Christ. And that is my challenge of the week.
And the word is the Bible.
Before we get up out of here, I want to say one thing. As we wrap up today, remember that God's love and grace is with you every step of the way, no matter what challenges you face. Trust in his plan and lean into his strength. Stay rooted in the world. Remain steadfast in prayer and let your light shine brightly. Until next time, may the peace of Christ guard your hearts and minds. God bless.
And this has been AWG.
Appreciate y'all.